To start the lesson with, to precede the lesson that I want to bring tonight, and this lesson is actually titled "Remember," and I think that song is a great song to kind of spark our remembrance, so that we think back that God is love, and I appreciate you leading that. I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to speak. Robert, thank you for asking me. I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope that the things that I can present from God's Word will be articulate enough that it can be applied in our lives as we consider God's Word. One of the things that I think plagues the Lord's church, hands down, is the fact that we are going through a time of forgetting. We are completely forgetting those things which God has done for us, which God has done for our fathers, and which God has done for everyone on the earth who has been here previously and who will be here to come. And so tonight I want to talk about how we can remember God and how we can remember Jesus and how we can remember those things so we don't forget, so that we're not victims of this forgetting that's taking place. I want to start by saying we have examples of the remembrance needed in the Bible. If you'll turn to Deuteronomy, you know, Deuteronomy is a book of remembering. It's the last season of Moses' life, and he continues to remind the Israelites, who are only a generation removed from a group of people who were led from Egypt, that they needed to remember what God had done for them and to remember those things that God was doing to allow them to inherit the land that they were promised. This book uses phrases such as remember, do not forget, over and over and over again, pressing the importance on our minds in remembering. Moses reminds them of the character of God, the nature of God, the power of God, all of these things, and also reminds them with a very stern warning to keep his commandments because of this power. If you look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, we read, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Deuteronomy 7, 17 through 18. "If you say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?' You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt." Deuteronomy 9, verse 7. "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness." Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this day." Deuteronomy 24, 18. "But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing." God knew we would forget. God knew that there would be a forgetting. And this is why in his scriptures, he gives us the remembrance. He gives us the mind to remember the facts, the mind to look back to the beginning of his creation and to remember what he had done. So as we remember God, we need to remember we were slaves to sin. And we know that God had a plan for us before the foundation of the world, based on Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. A mere three chapters into the Holy Scriptures, we see that we as men had succumbed to sin. And of course, those chapters weren't there, obviously, when it was first written, but it's a very short time into the Scriptures. In Genesis 3, 6, we see that sin has already entered the world. And we knew that this sin problem was a problem that man could not resolve on his own. A man's works cannot earn salvation. Only God's grace can provide that. It's essential. Man couldn't do it alone. And God had a plan from the very beginning, before the beginning, to provide grace for man's problem. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 shows us that man couldn't do it alone, that we shouldn't boast of works because we could not alone provide any kind of salvation for ourselves. God's Word offers us the ability to remember that these things were provided for us. In Genesis 3:15, We have the first gospel sermon, I guess, if you will. The good news is preached. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. God had already provided and started revealing to the people who were reading the Old Testament scriptures that he had a plan for man to redeem them from their sin. He continued this plan as he moved into Genesis 12, verse 3, when he was speaking to Abram at the time, and said that through his seed all nations would be blessed. But we need to remember that our God made a plan, and he accomplished it. He didn't fail. There was no failure. When Christ came, he wasn't rejected, and God decided to institute the church as a second thought. He made a plan from the beginning of time. He accomplished it through Jesus Christ, who is now the author and perfecter of our faith, according to Hebrews 12:2. We also, not only do we need to remember that God provided a plan provided a plan for us to become free from our sins, but we need to remember that God is righteous. Many times we lose this fact, especially in the world where we're bombarded with, well, God did this and God did that. How could a righteous God do such things? But we need to remember that God is righteous. And God's righteousness is revealed through the gospel, according to Romans 1:17. So we see God's righteousness is revealed there. Righteousness is actually part of God's character. You can't have God without righteousness. Psalm 7, verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous, for the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. If you turn over to Psalm 116, verse 5, we continue to see a pattern. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. You look at Psalm 119:137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. We must remember that God is a righteous God. Now, as we talk about this righteousness, we need to remember that there will come a day when God will judge us, and this judgment will be righteous. Acts 17, verse 31 tells us a little bit about this day and tells us that we will be judged righteously. Acts 17, 31 says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And of course, there he's talking about Jesus Christ. Romans 2, verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. It's obvious to those who study the scripture that God will judge righteously, and that those who are rebellious to our God will receive punishment, and that's what you would expect from a righteous God. We must remember God's judgment is real. It is coming. It always follows a pattern. If we look throughout the scriptures, we'll see that God's judgment always follows God's mercy. If we look at Noah's family, they were provided mercy because of the righteousness, but the world was judged in a flood. If we look at Lot and his family, they were shown mercy, but Sodom and Gomorrah received judgment. And for us, Jesus' blood is God's mercy. And based on the pattern that was set forward throughout the entire scriptures, we can see that there is a judgment that is coming. And because we know God is righteous, we know that judgment will be righteous. So we need to remember God. We need to remember those things. And of course, I don't have enough time in one sitting to impress upon our minds the true power of the Creator of the universe. But just a few thoughts that kind of could help us put that together and knowing and remembering what God has done for us. And as we think about remembering God, we also need to remember Jesus. We need to remember Jesus' character, that he was sinless, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We need to remember in Philippians 2, where Paul goes through a series of developing a point to show the brethren at Philippi the mind of Christ, the humble mind of Christ, and what he was willing to do. In Philippians 2, verse 8, we read, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we see the culmination of what Paul is trying to relate to the Philippians. He shows us the mind of Christ. He shows us the humility of Christ. Christ's character also reveals to us mercy. He was merciful, according to Hebrews 2:17. It says, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." We must remember Jesus' character. It's imperative for us to remember, especially if we intend to mimic his character, especially if we intend to take on the character of Christ in this world so that our light can shine. We must remember the character that he showed. We must remember Jesus' compassion. Look, turn with me to Luke 7, verse 12 through 17. Luke 7, 12 through 17. Just one instance, and then once again, there's no way that we would have enough time to go through all the compassionate acts that Jesus performed while he was on this earth. But this is just one that maybe can refresh our memory in who our Lord actually was. Luke 7, 12 to 17. "Now as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and said to her, 'Do not weep.' And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, 'A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people.' This report concerning him went out all over Judea and all the surrounding district. This was an amazing miracle, but the people forgot. And the people rebelled because they forgot. And the people turned against Jesus and crucified him because they chose to forget. And that's the true nature of forgetfulness, is that sometimes it's not an accidental forgetting. It's an intentional forgetting. We also see that Jesus showed his compassion from the cross. Many times we talk about this passage and we talk about what he actually says, and that's exactly what I want to do now, just to remind us. Look to Luke 23, verses 33 through 34. Luke 23, 33 through 34. This is Jesus on the cross, with nails in his hands, being punished between two thieves who had committed crimes, receiving penalties that, as far as we're aware, they had deserved, they had earned. And our sinless Savior was hanging on a cross with nails in his hand and a torn back, bleeding and basically suffocating. And this is what we read in Luke 23. "When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" You're not going to find a more compassionate person on the face of this planet. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He still had compassion for the very people who put him on the cross and their souls, and the destination of their soul for eternity. He had compassion for us because it's because of our problem that Christ went to the cross. Many times we talk about the Jews who crucified him, but the truth of the matter is that every time we commit a sin, we drive the nails. Every time we do that. So he was there on the cross thinking of us as well. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." That's the compassion of Christ. We must remember this compassion. This is who we are supposed to set our lives an example after. This is the pattern that we're supposed to follow. We must remember this compassion. Not only must we remember the compassion of Christ, but we also must remember the authority of Christ. In Matthew 7, verses 28 through 29, we see that Jesus is talking to the people, and he spoke in such a way that they knew he had authority. It wasn't a question. It wasn't, "Wow, he's saying some things that are harsh." It was, he speaks like he has authority. He knows what he's speaking about, and he's the right person to speak this. The Bible tells us when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes, as someone who just knew the Word, but as someone who actually may have created the Word, who was the Word. So we see his authority. We talked a little bit this morning in Brother Calvin's class about the authority that's mentioned in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus talking to the apostles there and telling them that all authority had been given to him. He had all authority. And because of that authority, he was willing to then tell them what they needed to do, bestowing authority to them that he had been given, saying, "Go into all the world, preaching to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all the things which I commanded you." He gave them the authority. And to fulfill the command that he gave the apostles, we need to remember his authority. We need to remember that authority is the authority that we work under today as well. We need to remember Jesus' death. We have the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and sometimes I worry and I have to kind of stoke myself to make sure that it doesn't just become some ritual that we perform every Sunday. It really has a meaning. It really means something. It's us proclaiming Jesus until he comes, proclaiming his death. We see in 1 Corinthians 11:26, most of you guys can probably quote that passage, but 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We proclaim it. And what does that word mean? Well, that word actually means that we proclaim that Jesus' blood was sufficient to save us from our sins. There is nothing else that we need. That through obedient faith to Christ, we can be saved from our sins. And that blood was sufficient to provide that for us. That's what we're proclaiming when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But if we forget, then it becomes a cold ritual that doesn't mean anything. So we must remember.